Welcome to Fusion, a show for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by Micah Sargent from Disruption and David Smith from Under the Radar to talk about working from home. Fusion is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
Stole my line.
I've always wanted to say it. It's so cool. Well, how are y'all?
Great. Yeah, it's a little early, but I will put on my podcast excitement and be a professional. So I'm here, ready to do it.
Podcasters put their pants on like everybody else, one leg at a time, or sometimes no legs.
True.
I guess, really, if we're honest.
We are working from home, aren't we? That's what we're talking about today. So
yeah, I was going to try to go the whole show without making a "don't wear pants to work" joke, but we lasted approximately 8 seconds. So
get out of the way. Just get out of the way.
That's right. Clear the decks. So for those of you, in the audience who may not be familiar, David, why don't you introduce yourself and kind of talk for a minute about what you do?
Sure. So, like I said, my name is David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer. I make apps primarily for the iPhone and iPad, mostly health and fitness related. And I've been doing that for about 8 years. And before that, I was doing web consulting. And so I've been sort of independent for a very long time. I do a weekly show with Marco Arment called Under the Radar, where we talk about what it's like to be an independent iOS developer. Otherwise, I spend a lot of time sitting in my basement working.
What about you, Micah?
My name is Micah Sargent, and I am the senior editor at Mobile Nations. I primarily write about home automation, pet technology, and kind of like breaking news stuff that's happening right now. Before that, I worked in an office as an anchor writer and producer at an online video news company. So I have not been working from home and working in, well, sort of independently for very long. This is all new to me.
I think that's interesting. I'm right kind of between the two of you, where I've been doing it now sort of independent for almost 2 years, about 20, 22 months or so. And I've learned already, you know, how many ideas I had at the beginning of this are just totally wrong and things I've had to like let go of or set aside. And I think that's kind of one thing I wanted to talk to y'all about today. I gave a talk at the Release Notes conference last year, and my whole like thing was I had all these expectations about working for myself and working from home and having to reset some of those. And I was curious to hear from the two of you. Have you had any of those? Have you had something that you were expecting or something that you thought would be easy, be a lot harder than you imagined?
I think the biggest thing that when I was first starting to work from home and be independent, I remember thinking like, this will be great that I can just now like focus on the work that I want to do and not do all of the silly stuff that you have to deal with in an office, and like I'll get more work done and I'll be more productive. And I was quickly dissuaded of that notion. When you get to the reality that being at home means that you're at home and you like being at home, and there's lots of things at home that you like doing that aren't work. And it took a lot of conscious effort and like structure to get to a place that I could get productive work done while I was at home, because for as sort of challenging as a lot of the things about being in an office, provide, one thing that the office gives you is this sense of like, okay, now I am working. And so it's like I'm either working or I'm like goofing off from working, but I feel bad about that. And so I have this natural pull back towards working. Whereas at home, I could be like doing laundry, or I could be getting a snack. Like I have a fridge upstairs full of all the food, my favorite foods, because it's my house. It's not, the office kitchen. And so it takes a lot more sort of discipline and not trusting yourself to be disciplined. And so setting up routines and have habits that kind of force you. And I think that was the thing that took the longest to kind of wrap my head around, that it's like, oh, it isn't just like going to be this easy, straightforward thing to transition back to and stay focused and actually do the work that I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that is pretty much everything that I am kind of having to kind of figure out right now. That, as well as I thought it would be easier to get up every day and like convince myself that it was necessary for me to have the same routine that I did when I went to work. So, for example, you know, I'd wake up, I would, go get ready for work. I would put on, clothes. Because I was on camera, because I anchored, I had to wear, you know, a nice shirt at least. Every once in a while, I went to work with like the wrong kind of pants that were more comfortable. But for the most part, you know, I had to get kind of dressed up. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do something similar to that whenever I'm working from home, because that will help me kind of maintain this mental idea that now you're in your work clothes and now you're working. And it did not take long for me to... to stop doing that, because, you know, you wake up and it's like, well, my office is just some steps away and I don't feel like changing my clothes. I also, had this grand vision of like, waking up and taking my laptop to, the coffee shop, the local coffee shop. And I, you know, become friends with Fran, who works at the coffee shop. And we are, you know, she comes over and asks how my writing is going and stuff like that. And I have not really left the house that much to work, away from home. So, I was lying to myself this whole time.
I think I definitely resonate with the idea of having a routine, and some of that in my household is driven that we have young kids, they're in school, and so during the school year at least, we're all getting up early because we got to get everyone out the door. But most mornings, like this morning included, you know, we get everyone up, my wife takes them to school, and then I have the house to myself for a little while, and that's generally when I take a shower, make myself breakfast, and then, you know, I'm usually at my desk by 9:15. And for me, that is just so important, because if I don't do that, then like my whole day is behind. Like if I have a day where I sleep in a little bit, or, you know, maybe the kids are out of school for some reason, so I kind of hang out in the morning longer than normal, then by the time I make it to my desk, it's 10 or 10:30, and then I'm playing catch up all day. And I think a large part of that for me is just physical workspace, and something I'm really interested in. And hearing how y'all's are. For me, when I first started, we were in a smaller house, and my desk was in our bedroom, in our master bedroom, where my wife and I sleep. And I had my desk there. I had, you know, a laptop and a display, and I was recording my shows elsewhere. I had, you know, had some office space I was sharing with somebody in town, and so I had to drive a bunch anytime I was going to record a show. But I'd work out of that office those days, and I was back and forth a lot, spending a lot of time in the car. Didn't really get rid of my driving time. And then we moved about, you know, coming up on a year ago, and I now have a studio. It's in a workshop in the backyard. It's separate from the house, so I have some separation, which is nice. But I know that's unique. So how have y'all managed to sort of bring the office into your home? What about you, David?
Sure. So I've done about every version that you could imagine. I've done a little bit of the working kind of in a shared space in the, you know, in the house, where there's lots of other family interactions, which was problematic. And so it's like, okay, so I need to go to, you know, have a room with a door that I can close. And the house we used to live in that the only office that really would work was unfortunately like two doors down from like our children's playroom. And so it was a very complicated management, both in, because I think the thing that I didn't quite realize is, even if it's like I can close the door and like the kids are pretty good about, like, you know, when daddy's working and they don't come, and it's like bother is the wrong word, but, you know, it's like they want to interact. Like the fact that I'm sitting behind a door, the fact that it's 10 o'clock in the morning doesn't mean anything to them when you're a 3-year-old.
Right.
And so that didn't really work great. And so it's like mostly from my perspective, because I'd hear like one of the kids was, you know, like stub their toe. And then I would, you know, I want to be part of that and like help them and so on. But it's like, it's not appropriate. I need to be focused on what I'm trying to do. And so, you know, you try like the big Princess Leia headphones that you wear with like play music, and you're trying to like isolate yourself in. And in the end, what I ended up needing to do is I got a little office outside of the home, and I just would work there for when I needed to sort of have a space to go to that I'd like, okay, I'm going to work and then now I'm coming home, and I could leave my work at work and my home at home. Cause just as much of there's, you know, it's the problem of, like I could either end up working too much, if I didn't have a good separation between the two, where I would, you know, kind of always be thinking about work, always be like, oh, let me just do one more thing. And it's like, oh, I'm doing it on the sofa on my laptop. So the kids are around. So that's, you know, better. But the reality is I was missing out on the home stuff, or it would flip the other way around and I would spend way too much time just on home stuff, which is like lovely and never feels like it's a burden. But at the same time, I'm not getting the work done. So I got an office. And then when we moved, we recently, maybe two or three years ago, we moved into a house that has a third level. So I can now have like a basement that I go into. And that's been, and so since we did that, I now no longer have an office outside the home. I just have a space downstairs, and, you know, we've set everything up very intentionally that like, there's nothing related to the children, or honestly, there's hardly anything down here except for my office. So that, you know, during the day, I'm pretty much just like down in my little cave, and I go and do my work. And when I come upstairs, it's like, then I'm at home and I'm doing work, you know, more family stuff. And when dad goes downstairs, then like for myself and for, you know, my family, it's much clearer that like, okay, I'm at work. And whatever that looks like, you know, is like, they can still contact me. I mean, sometimes it's funny, like my wife and I will like be text messaging back and forth and she's upstairs.
Yeah, we do that too.
you know, but it helps create that illusion at least, or that feeling of like, okay, I have this space that when I go to, I'm doing a thing. And then when I'm not in that space, I'm not doing that thing.
For me, I've been blessed to be able to have an office in the home separate from everything in for as long as I've been working from home. At the town home that we lived in before we moved to a different city, it was a two-bedroom, and so I was able to have the second bedroom as my office, and then now we're living in a three-bedroom, and I have one of the bedrooms as an office. So I've always had a very clear space that is my own, where I can do all of the stuff that I want to do and need to do. And my partner, Shane, is not only is he very, very good about just knowing like, okay, this is office time. This is, you know, when Mike is in the office and the door is closed, just leave him alone. Cause usually what would happen, like any time that he's ever tried to open the door, whenever I'm like in the office and the door is closed, it always happens to be when I'm like trying to do a podcast. So we've now like come to the conclusion that you just don't open the door when Mike's door is closed in the office. But I've actually found that the biggest problem was, because the other thing too is that my partner and my schedule are very similar, and so it's usually the case that when he's getting off work, I'm also getting off work. Although working from home sometimes leads to working later than any sort of typical schedule, but it was the dogs that ended up being the problem in terms of distraction and trying to. It broke my heart, but I had to put up a baby gate on my office door, because what would happen is the dogs would want to come. I have very small dogs, and they'd want to come in and sit on my lap, which is just the worst for ergonomics. The dogs would be sitting on my lap. I'd be hunched over trying to type over the top of them while they're both kind of like riding the waves of my lap as I'm trying to move around and shift. And yeah, it just didn't work. So I got a baby gate put up, and had it at my last place and have it here, and they're not fond of it, but they pretty much now just maintain their own space whenever I'm working as well. So those are the boundaries I had to draw, more so than with humans. It was with my pets.
Yeah, well, toddlers like to crawl up in your lap too, so it's really kind of the same set of challenges. I know anytime my kids don't come out here very often, but sometimes in the afternoon if they're playing in the backyard, you know, I'll leave the door open and they'll, you know, kind of come in and out. And my two-year-old in particular is just fascinated by my office. I mean, probably because there's like 32,000 computers in here. And he just likes, oh, look at all this stuff. Something, David, you spoke about on a show a long time ago. Maybe it was Under the Radar. Maybe it was before that show. The idea of trying to communicate with people you live with, you know, what your situation is. And, you know, Micah, you said, you know, you and Shane have the rule of like, hey, if my door is shut, you know, maybe send me a text message first. You know, don't come barging in, don't knock out, you know, I may be recording in here. David, something you said that we have totally adopted in our household is the idea of like the language around, am I at work or not? And so, you know, several times a day, you know, I'll make the trek across the backyard and, you know, to go get lunch or, you know, come inside for a little while or, you know, we need to come wash my hand. I mean, whatever. And my wife and I have developed that shorthand, even when the kids aren't home, like, oh, hey, are you home from work? Well, no, not yet. You know, I got about an hour left or I got a phone call in a minute, just kind of coming in and seeing what's going on. And that has been very helpful. I think for us, it's just about clearly having those definitions, because otherwise people's feelings get hurt or, you know, to what you said of like, I have these big shifts where I'm working way too much and kind of ignoring everything else. Or, you know, when I feel guilty about that for a while, I spend all my time in the house with the family doing stuff and not getting any work done. And that's bad too. And I think building those boundaries for us, at least, has been really hard. And we've had some arguments about it, and it's kind of been like trying to work it out over the last 2 years has been tough. But I agree with you both that it's completely necessary, right? I mean, I think people view working from home as like this big romantic thing. I definitely had that. Micah, sounded like you had it going into. Like, I definitely had the thought of like, I'm going to go to the coffee shop every day and like, become a regular. And I've been to a coffee shop like 3 times in 2 years, right? Like during the workday. But I think the reality is harder than that, and I think that you guys have shared that well.
And I think too, it's interesting. I think different situations, of course, will kind of have different results, and depending on who happens to be in the home and what's going on around you, that can kind of change how the interactions work and how the boundaries exist. And that's all very vague, but a specific example is my family had come to visit just this past weekend, and it was like the weekend to the weekend, and the boundaries were definitely not there, and it was kind of a moment where I had to say, oh wow, I have to draw these boundaries. And something that's interesting is the way that different people react to boundaries being drawn. And it ended up kind of being a situation where it's like, hey, if you want me to eventually get to hang out and be able to visit, then I really have to have this time to just be very focused and do what I need to do. And then we can all, you know, hang out and have a good time. But I think even to this day, I think there's still sort of a joke around, oh, you work from home. You don't really work. And that's always a fun thing to kind of have to navigate, where I have in different situations found myself sort of sticking up for the fact that I do, you know, do work. I just have been blessed to be able to do it from home.
Yeah, and I think too, it's so many of these things have ultimately, I think, in my experience, come down to being overly communicative about what you're trying to do with the people that your work affects. You know, whether that's your spouse, your partner, your children, your dogs, like whatever it is. The key thing I think what I've run into is it's like it seems like it should sort of naturally work itself out. Like, it doesn't seem like it should be that complicated to just, like, sit down and get some work done. But, like, the actual reality of life is such that there's always, like, a little thing that tends to come up. Like, I mean, part of it is, like, the awesome thing about working from home is that you can take care of, like, lots of little things. It's like, you know, my wife puts some laundry in the washer and then goes out and says, hey, in half an hour, would you mind putting that in the dryer? It's like, that's not a problem, and it's a nice thing that I can do that, and, you know, it just makes life a little bit easier. But it's like trying to find that the balance and that boundary between, you know, if that happens every now and then, it's probably fine. If it happens all the time, then it's probably not going to work as a sustainable, you know, thing. because at a certain point you're not really working. And I think like we found for ourselves, like the key things for my wife and I to just be incredibly communicative about it. And so we have all these kind of very silly things where it's like, are you home? Is like a question my wife will often ask me, which, you know, on the surface is a little bit crazy. Like I'm standing in my kitchen and she's asking me, am I home?
Right.
That's our shorthand for, and if I say like, no, I'm not, like, then it's like, we know it's like, okay, I'm still working. I'm just upstairs to get something for whatever reason. Like I'm just like passing through, you know, pay no attention to me. But if I am home, like if I just happen to wrap up early, you know, usually we found that it like was important for me to have a set schedule. So I pretty much work 9 to 5, even though, you know, theoretically I could work anytime and that'd be great. Like for me, I found it worked way better with our, you know, in to have to keep regular office hours so that, you know, I never work really past 5 o'clock unless like something is on fire. And I don't go to work earlier than, you know, about 9 o'clock, which is usually when the kids are starting school and stuff. But like anytime outside of that, we just, you know, we developed a language just to do that, to make sure we're on the same page, because I think that's how we've been able to best avoid the kind of the hurt feelings or the miscommunications or the misunderstandings. And I think it helps my wife from talking to her. It's like it helps her it empowers her to be able to be respectful of what I'm doing, to have a vocabulary to talk a lot about it, of like what we're doing in a little bit of a silly way, so that she doesn't have to be guessing. Because I think that's where a lot of the problems we had early on would come from, is where if she was guessing about, you know, like what I'm doing, or I mean, it's a bit funny when I'm an iOS developer. So like if you come into my office and I'm just sitting here with my phone in my hand, it's like I could just be, you know, playing around on my phone, or I could be actually working. Like both of those things involve me sitting in a chair, using a phone. And so like, rather than just guessing about these things, being very explicit about it and just talking about things a lot has seemed to help a lot. Cause at this point, you know, years later, I think we've gotten to that place where we can just kind of like, you know, like when I'm at work, like the fact that I work downstairs isn't as big, it isn't complicated anymore. Like it, as the way it was, you know, years ago when we were first starting out.
Mike, I'm curious about your schedule. I know being, you know, sort of firmly in the news world, news can break any time, right? So how do you mm-hmm. manage that?
So it's interesting because in my last job, I was more of a quote unquote general purpose journalist. There were days when I would come in and write a story about, you know, a helicopter crash in Dubai or something like that, and then go and anchor that story and then go and produce that video and get it up as quickly as possible and move on to the next thing. And in this gig as a more tech focused writer, it's a lot of the stuff that we do is what we call pre-planned content. So it's stuff that, you know, a lot of it is service journalism where people need help figuring out how to do, you know, I don't know, set up two-step verification for Instagram or something like that. So a lot of that kind of news is, of course, not breaking news. And it's something that works within a 9-to-5 schedule. But occasionally there are very interesting things that happen during the day, and kind of my news beat whenever I am writing just about, you know, what happens to be happening right now, is focused on just stuff that I think is cool and stuff that it seems a lot of people are talking about or suddenly getting very popular. And those types of things can kind of strike at any moment. And so there are times when, it's 7 p.m. or something like that, and I happen to be scrolling through Twitter and the inspiration bug strikes because there's something very, very cool. And so, you know, I go and file something really quickly and get it up. But I try to, not for, it's really not even for my sake so much as, well, I guess it is in a way, but like the sake of my relationship and the sake of my mental health, I do try to maintain somewhere around a 9-to-5. And like I said, occasionally there are times when it goes over. And when it comes to big Apple news days, because I more, at least up to this point, has been very focused on Apple, then we would have kind of different schedules. So I think it's a matter of being very clear on you know, the management side of my job, the when we're going to have days where we might be working later into the night. But for the most part, it's just about having that discipline to maintain somewhat of a normal schedule. And right now, like I said, it's trying to hit the 9 to 5 as best I can.
Yeah, it's something I've really struggled with at the beginning, and part of it was being new to it. Part of it too was I came from a place where I had a 9 to 5 job and I had Relay FM, and all my Relay work was after hours. And so I had become accustomed to, you know, getting home at 5:30 or 6 from work, having dinner, and then working for 4 or 5 hours on my business. And all of a sudden I didn't have the 9 to 5 anymore, and I struggled to contain Relay back within regular working hours. And I'm better at it now, but then again, like last night, I was up late working on a YouTube video. Like it comes and goes. But I think to y'all's point, wisely, that it's definitely about that communication. But before we wrap up, I do want to reiterate that all three of us are extremely fortunate to do what we do, right? Like some of this has been, I mean, we're talking about the downsides of it, because I think that's sort of a realistic conversation. But I think too, and I think my wife would agree that like I'm happier and I am like healthier than I've been in a long time when it comes to the way that I work, and even thinking about work. And I think our family life is better than it's ever been because I can drop something, and be at home, you know, very quickly, just to walk across the yard. And I think that, anyone who gets to do this, would echo that once you figure out the pitfalls, then you can really enjoy the fruits of it. And I don't know how unique that is. And I think that's true of a lot of jobs, right? That all jobs come with baggage, and working from home, working for yourself has just different baggage than other stuff.
I think that's really well said. I absolutely, all the time actually will go, wow, you know, you get to work from home, and what that means is, in almost every case, if my partner got a job somewhere else, then no biggie, because I can work from there as well. So that's a huge blessing to have that freedom. But I before we wrap up, I am curious to hear your two perspectives on this, because at the same time I moved to a new city, this is the bigger portion of me working from home. So it's kind of like I got this job, we moved shortly after, and I've been working from home mostly in the new city that I live in, where I haven't had a chance to meet a lot of people locally, and become friends with them. So it's been, like, I'm not going to lie, it's been pretty lonely in that sense. And don't get a chance to have the interactions that I got to have in an office. I mean, I worked at the news company that I worked for was a startup for a long time. So it was a very small knit family, frankly. And most of my good friends were also my coworkers. And I moved into this new job and was not close to those people physically anymore. And so it made it hard to kind of have those friend relationships and maintain those. And so, yeah, I'm curious if you all experience that, or have at least in the past experienced that kind of like, wow, I wish I had somebody to talk to instead of having to type to them on Skype or on Slack all the time. Or if you prefer that kind of being alone and being away from people.
Yeah, I mean, I think loneliness is definitely something that I have had to navigate as part of, you know, working for yourself and being independent. And I feel like there's an element of personality that I tend to do reasonably well by myself, but it is something that I think I've had to just become aware of and like be proactive about doing other things and having time with other people. Because it is, I think the thing that you run into at an office thing is just like, whether you want it or not, you're going to have physical interactions with people on a regular basis. Like sometimes in a way that'll drive you crazy and sometimes in a way that is awesome. But it's just going to happen. You can't really, it's very difficult to avoid. And so I think the thing that I found working for myself, it's like, if I, you know, I think it's a good, healthy thing to have, you know, good, you know, physical interactions with humans on a daily basis. That's probably a good thing for me, that I'm going to need to consciously make choices to make that happen. And whether that's getting together with friends or spending time with my family or whatever that looks like, it's like it has to be a proactive choice rather than something that just happens by default. And that just is, I guess, an inevitable part of it. Because, yeah, like otherwise you will just like it can have these really weird days where, like, I remember I think it was a couple winters ago. We had a little bit of snow and we didn't get much snow out here, but it was like it was this period where, because of that, a lot of events and like outside activities were canceled. And there was a period of about a week where I never like went outside. And like I remember at the end of the week, I was like, wait a second, I've never been outside this whole week. That's probably not healthy. Like, that's probably not a good thing. I should, you know, leave, go outside and do something. But it had to be like a conscious choice, because the default was like, oh, sure, I can have everything I need right here. I don't need to go and do something. So I had to make the choice to go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I think my experience is very close to yours in that I work well by myself. I enjoy working by myself, but I do try to be aware of that sort of out in the real world. And one thing I've done is try to leverage my flexibility, where if a friend, you know, wants to get together for coffee or lunch or something, I try to leverage the fact that, you know, unless I'm recording a show, my schedule is basically my own, right? Like sort of the admin stuff, all the behind the scenes stuff at Relay, as long as it gets done within a time frame, it doesn't matter if it happens in the morning or the afternoon. And so I try to use that to my advantage. And I think too, like I don't want to downplay the importance of things, you know, like Slack, you know, that I can communicate with everybody I work with very quickly. You know, my business partner, Mike Hurley, is 6 time zones away from me. He's in a different country. And we have learned how to make that work in our relationship, both personally and at work. And, you know, one thing we do is we have a phone call once a week. And it started out as like, this is going to be our company stand-up. We're going to talk about the week, talk about the week before, what we got done, what's being carried over. But it has turned into sort of a, that plus, how was the weekend? How are you doing? How's home life? And you know, it'll go on and on just to have some time to connect. And I think it's a great question, Mike, and one I think that is super important to anyone who works kind of on their own.
Yeah, I think it's something that's really important to monitor, and especially for those of us who do work well alone and who do like that, you know, seclusion, I guess, because I'm also that same way. But I also know that it can be very, very trying in terms of mental health. And yeah, I mean, there have been situations the same as Dave was describing where we're going, oh, wow, I have really not gone and done anything or talked to anyone other than Shane and the dogs for this entire week. That's not great because at the base of it, humans certainly are social beings and kind of do require at least getting out of the house. So yeah, I was curious to hear your experiences on that as well. Yeah.
Well, I've broken my promise it would be under 30 minutes. So let's wrap this up. Micah, where can people find you online?
If you're looking for me online, I kid you not, you can find every link you need at www.chihuahua.coffee.
That is the best URL I've ever heard. What about you, David?
I'm best place probably david-smith.org, where there's links to all my work and podcasts and things like that I do.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at ISMH and, of course, on a bunch of shows here at Relay. Until next month, adios.